was 47 years. Fuel for a car was sold in drugstores only. Only 14% of the homes had a bathtub. Only 8% of the homes had a telephone. There were only 8,000 cars at the time and only 144 miles of paved road in the United States. 110 years ago. The maximum speed in most cities was 10 miles an hour. The tallest structure in the world back then was the Eiffel Tower. The average wage in 1909 was 22 cents per hour. The average worker made between $200 and $400 a year. A competent accountant could expect to earn $2,000 a year, a dentist $2,500, a veterinarian $1,500 a year, and $4,000 per year for a mechanical engineer. More than 95% of all births took place at home. 90% of all doctors had no college education. Instead, they attended so-called medical schools, many of which were condemned in the press and the government as well. Sugar cost 4 cents a pound. Eggs were 14 cents a dozen. Coffee was 15 cents a pound. Most women only washed their hair once a month. And used borax or egg yolks for shampoo. Canada passed a law that prohibited poor people from entering into their country for any reason. Five leading causes of death were pneumonia, tuberculosis, diarrhea, heart disease, and strokes. The American flag had 45 stars. The population of Las Vegas, Nevada was 30. Crossword puzzles, canned beer, iced tea hadn't been invented yet. You know, when years ago, when somebody decided we're going to bottle water, I thought, who would ever buy a bottle of water? I mean, really, buy water when I can get it free? There was no Mother's Day, there was no Father's Day. Two out of every 10 adults could read or write, and only 6% of Americans had graduated from high school. Marijuana, heroin, morphine were all available over the counter at local drug stores. Back then, pharmacists said heroin cleared the complexion, gave buoyancy to the mind, regulated stomach and bowels, and is, in fact, a perfect guardian of health. 18% of the households had at least one full-time servant or domestic. There were about 230 reported murders for the entire year in 1909. Plus one more sad thought, 95% of the taxes we have now did not exist in 1909. Things have changed. 47. That's what the expected lifetime was just 110 years ago. But our God hasn't changed. Amen. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I can count on him. If he said it in the book, I believe it. We can have it. Amen. Hallelujah. He hasn't raised the wages from 10%. Although if you're a Trinitarian, you have to pay 30%. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to turn your attention to Matthew, the third chapter. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I was thinking today, there are two things that mesmerize people. One is fire. A lot of people in the summertime, they have campfires and they sit around and they look, stare into the fire. We have fireplaces. I have three fireplaces in my home. I built the home with one fireplace, put two more fireplaces in, and there's something not only warm but mesmerizing. And then there's water. People will pay big dollars in order to be close to water or have a view of water. And you know, the two things that save us is fire and water. If you go to Exodus, the third chapter, Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, like on New Year's Eve, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am, or am I? And then one last scripture in Acts, the 7th chapter. Acts 7 and verse 30. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of the Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And Moses saw it, and he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. We're grateful to be in your house with your people. It's a sanctuary, a place that's set aside for your spirit, for your name, for the importance of those things that happen in this place. Blessed in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Someone called today and asked if it was all right to take their shoes off in service. And I said, well, now that we've had foot washing, it should be all right, you know. But there's something about how Moses was commanded to take his shoes off because he was in a holy place, on holy ground. And I never want to be disrespectful to God, but there are some who just feel that it's a proper thing, and I would never stop anyone from doing that. But what we just read is an allegory or a parable of the church that is on fire but not consumed. It's a shadow and type of what would happen in the church. There are a lot of people on the backside of the desert with no purpose in life, never expecting to hear from God whatsoever. I was one of those people who God had to get a hold of and shake. But if they come up to God's mountain, the Lord will appear to them in a flaming fire or a display of the miraculous. It was the bush that was on fire that got the attention of Moses. The church caught on fire in Acts, the 2nd chapter, and got the attention. They were all amazed. And in verse 12 of that 2nd chapter, they said, What meaneth this? And of course, in fact, let's turn to Acts, the second chapter. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now, I've spoken on this several times over the years. I looked up that word fire, and it didn't mean that there were tongues of fire that sat on the heads of people, but the word says like as fire, and the word fire there meant that it was a power that came from above, like lightning or a gift. And so there needed to be fire in the upper room. There needs to be fire in order to get our attention, to give us power, if you will. And that's happened to each and every one of us. We turned aside because the miraculous in the house of God, all the attention was not just because of the bush on fire, but that it wasn't burnt up and kept on burning. Amen. Burning bush out in the middle of the desert, not a big deal, but how could it keep on burning without burning up? Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. When God sees, he's got our attention, folks. When people get to the point where they realize their life isn't going anywhere, when they've been discouraged and depressed and forsaken and tired of what's going on in their life, they will take a trip to the mountain. They may find themselves at the door of a spirit-filled church staring at a burning bush. I don't know what's going on here, but I really want to take a look at it. Look how excited those people are. I don't understand that, but you know what? I want to look at it. What's going on? Most likely, most of us that were converted were like that. Now, there are a lot of places that claim to be on fire, but eventually the fire goes out and it's religion as normal. But the true church will always be on fire. Every service has to produce something miraculous. Every service has to be lit up, if you will, a little bit exciting. Amen. In fact, most people who come to a Pentecostal church expect to see a burning bush. Amen. They don't expect to see the same thing that they came out of. They expect an experience or something miraculous. Many of them come like they did in the day of Jesus, expecting something's going to happen for me that didn't happen where I came from. And when the supernatural is in the midst of the church, then people will turn aside to see the sight, but they want to hear from God. I remember coming in, feeling the power of God, seeing what was going on, and it created an appetite for me to find out, is that really in the book? I want to know what God says about this. Are the gifts of the Spirit still in operation in the church? And it all started because there was an experience, or there was fire in the church. God will call to them out of the midst of the burning bush. Now, because of the miraculous, they are open to the Word of God. And before that, in the dull, boring, they weren't interested. Something is burning here tonight. Amen. And in every service, if only someone here would turn aside to see, well, what's the Lord going to do? There are a number of people here tonight that need God to help them. And we all want God to speak to us. But somehow he's got to get our attention. how is that going to happen? I can't get out of my mind this experience on New Year's Eve with the angel looking through that window, and don't think that I'm making more out of this than I should. But it was the miraculous. I've looked at that picture several times. There is no question in my mind. And when Brother Carpenter took the picture, there wasn't anything there. But when he looked at his phone, there was the image. And is that like the burning bush that says, you know what? Something's happening. Something miraculous is happening here, you see. Well, Pastor, do you always have to be such... Well, you drive the emotion in the church. Well, if we want to keep the bush burning, amen. Yeah. Amen. If we want people to take notice of the supernatural, if we want God to speak to people, if we want an experience with God, well, it all starts from our own emotion. It all starts from us turning aside to see what the miraculous is doing. And we are obligated, each of us, to keep the fire burning in the church. Each one of us. It's not just the cheerleaders up here. It's just not the people who are involved in the music. It's not about the preacher getting everyone. I can get everybody excited and screaming in here, but that's not what God's looking for. He wants a true, genuine move of His Spirit in here. And that doesn't start up here. It starts out there. Amen. Well, I haven't felt anything. Well, what have you done? All right. Amen. You know, I speak in tongues every day. And the Bible says that we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you haven't prayed in the Holy Ghost for a while, you need to stop at the burning bush and pray in the Holy Ghost. This isn't just a one-time experience. It's something that builds up within us and strengthens us. Would you turn to Proverbs, the 26th chapter? There's a misconception that, you know, there are a few leaders in the church that get things going, and you know, if there's a certain evangelist that comes in or somebody special, well, you know, we're going to have a great service because he's the one that lights the fire. Every one of us are responsible for lighting the fire and keeping it going in the church. And it's amazing there could be two or three people who could stop the fire from burning. Proverbs 26 and verse 20, it says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer or slanderer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. When everything is going well and everybody is participating in worshiping and praising God, I'll tell you what, we're dragging another log on the fire. Amen. 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 Brother Hoffman is a pyromaniac. And, you know, when he gets that fire going out there, he wants to just drag more logs and more. I feel exactly the same way. I want to drag another person into the group. Amen. Now, all of the beauty of a fireplace is of no value if there's no fire in it. You know, and I would say that 80% of the fireplaces today rarely see any fire because it's work. There's cost involved. You know, all you little fireplaces, it's going to take something in order to get you all revved up and worshiping God. This church building is a beautiful place, but it has no value if there is no fire burning in it. If it's just look at what we have here, you see, we can't let the fire go out. I don't ever want to walk into a beautiful cold church without the appearance of the supernatural flame of the Holy Ghost, and there has to have It has to be the miraculous that gets us going. Our world is full of people whose fire has gone out. Churches that have summer schedules, meaning they have less services or cancel for a football game or something, because they don't want the church to interfere with the world or their venue. Moses' fire had gone out long before he saw the flaming bush. Long, years and years. God's not going to use me anymore. You know, I might as well do this mundane thing and just go through the routine. He felt like he failed God because of his past mistakes, and he was discouraged and he was depressed. He had lost his purpose and his reason to exist seemed to disappear. And people come into the church all excited about what God is going to do. And, you know, I've had more people come into the church within 6 months. They thought they'd be evangelists or do something great. But then when everything didn't happen the way they wanted to, the fire went out. But the direction and the purpose came back through what he saw and what he heard. And so what we experience also gives us a drive and an excitement and direction and purpose. People are looking for a purpose to their life, and that can only come from standing next to a burning bush. They're looking for people who still have the fire. Amen. I've had pastors say, could you lend me a couple of those saints that go crazy every once in a while? Because we need something to get us excited again. Amen. Not impressed with a flash in the pan, amen, but a fire that lasts and keeps burning every service. Amen. 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 I have a fireplace in my living room, and it has it's a gas fireplace. I changed it from wood because it was too much work, and it really wasn't very efficient anymore. But I have this little remote control, and I just hit the remote control, and the fire goes on. And it even sets the thermostat for a certain level or temperature. But last year, it just wouldn't work, you know. And it was just, you know, it's a beautiful fireplace, but worthless without fire, you know. So I had to get it fixed. If you're not burning, you better get it fixed. Hallelujah. Oh, look, I look Pentecostal, don't I? Where's the fire? Amen. You better get it fixed. Amen. Hallelujah. Fire played an important part in worship throughout the entire Bible. Israel was led by a pillar of fire. Fire descended on Mount Sinai. Fire fell on Carmel. In the tabernacle, there was fire. There was fire at the brazen altar, on the candlesticks, on the altar of incense. The fire was never supposed to ever go out, ever. Some feel that the glory above the mercy seat was a fiery presence of God. See, where God is, there's fire. There's emotion. Exodus 30 and 8 says, "And when Aaron lighted the lamp at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation." In other words, the fire was never allowed to go out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It is my responsibility to keep the home fires going, you know? Hotel 6 keeps the light on. The church keeps the fire going. Amen. Amen. everyone's responsibility. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19 says, quench not the Spirit. Well, how do you do that? And I've heard this sermon. I've heard that song. You know, it just, isn't there something new? No. God hasn't changed his mind. He still wants us to worship him. And as we do, it lights something within us. The word quench in the Greek is not to extinguish, or no wet blankets allowed. You see, the fire brings warmth and life, and if the body gets too cold, it's called hypothermia. My dad died of hypothermia. I know all about it. Could there be people in the church suffering from hypothermia to the point where they haven't been aroused for a long time? They haven't been by the fire in a long time. God forbid that people would sit unmoved in a service when the power of God is falling everywhere, but I'm not going to be moved. Seeing people come to an altar desperate for God, and yet the saint sits unmoved, just ready to go home. It can happen to us, church. It can happen. The fire warms our cold nature and causes us to react to the lost. When we're involved with the fire of God, it seems like we want to pull somebody else into the fire. Come be with us. God, don't let the fire go out in my life or in our church. The fire was also the light of the tabernacle. The candlestick was the only light. And when God's Spirit moves, we are enlightened in how to live for God. And the Word is made alive by the spiritual fire. If nothing's going on in the church, the Word falls right about 2 inches past this pulpit, and it never becomes alive to us. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, we have to have the Spirit of God moving in order to get the attention of people, and then the light of God sheds knowledge and wisdom through the Word of God. I never saw that before. Glory to God. The reason some have sold out for a lesser gospel is because they lost the fire and have no light. And that's what happens when people who haven't dressed like the world, talked like the world, taken the world's value, now align themselves with the world because the fire has gone out in their life. I'm not excited about this thing anymore. And they just can't see the excitement anymore. Jeremiah, well, he was called the weeping prophet. He got discouraged. He preached and he preached and he preached and he preached. Nothing seemed to happen. Nobody wanted to hear his message. They made fun of him and ridiculed him. And he declared, you know what? That's it. I'm not going to preach anymore. And what did he say? I would have stayed, but there was a fire that was shut up in my bones. God never allowed the fire to go out in Jeremiah. God, don't let the fire go out in my life. Don't let the fire go out in your life, folks. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So if you're looking for fire, it's here. Amen. No shortage of it. Amen. Don't let it ever go out. One log can't burn by itself, folks. I can live for God in my house. I can live for God in the woods. I can live for God in my car. I can, no. You see, one log was going to go out. But if you pull a whole bunch of logs together, stack them up, get a little fire going, we need to get together all the more as we see the day approaching. So we got a blaze going that not only keeps us heated, but the neighbors see the fire. Hallelujah. You know, I've heard stories of great church services that were happening, and there were people on the road who saw fire on the top of the building and even called the fire department because they saw fire on top of the building. God just couldn't resist it. He just wanted to show the rest of the world what was going on the inside of the church. Hallelujah. Proverbs 26 and 20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. I want to be a pyromaniac for this church. Amen. Keep it going. Keep it going. Hallelujah. The fires that happened in California, they said it was like tornadoes. And there was a roar. The fire actually made a roaring sound, like a rushing mighty wind. Hallelujah. Could that happen? I believe it could. Amen. Would you stand with me? Glory to God. The mercy of God. Every one of us have had our own burning bush. Lady that was here on Sunday morning that got the Holy Ghost, she was telling me the miraculous things that have happened to her just in the last month. She couldn't believe it. Some of the things that were said over the pulpit that she had just been thinking of, it was a burning bush. There's no question, that's God. That's God. And so it's got my attention. There must be something to this, you see? And these signs shall follow them that believe. You want to know who the true church is? It's the ones with the fire. Amen. The altar's open. You can come.